Yes, repeat. For the working class homeless, for single men and single women. Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
And so we have new guests in the studio today. It's another beautiful day. Hey, it is a new day if you want it to be. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. How are you, folks? Glad you're tuned in, watching. Whatever you're doing, you can find us on WCNO at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 in the morning. I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Only because that's how I, partially how I got saved by watching the 700 Club. There may only be 6 people out there, but if you're listening at 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe you're going through some tough times. Call upon the name of Jesus. You'll be saved, right?
Yes.
Got this beautiful couple here. Your name is?
Jesse.
Jesse and?
I'm Kirsten.
Kirsten.
Yes.
And what's your last name?
Lancor.
Okay, so you guys, you're originally from Michigan, you're originally from Illinois. And at what age, how did you two meet each other?
We met in Milwaukee at a small church that had recently been planted. She moved up to the city with her older brother, and I was part of campus ministry at UW-Milwaukee. And she searched Google.
Yeah, for a church.
Praying church, Holy Spirit filled.
Yeah.
And came and joined us for a meeting and knew that was her people. We didn't really talk for a couple of years, but we got to observe each other's lives, following Jesus, heart after the Lord. Really encountering the Lord and figuring out how to be a disciple of Jesus. There's a lot kind of that happened in between
there.
There's
a lot that happened in between there.
we started going to Haiti, which was a big part of, you know, why we're here today.
Well, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Haiti. Why did you pick Haiti? Or who picked it for you?
Yeah, the Lord picked Haiti for sure. There's an earthquake January of 2010.
And the epicenter was Laogan, right where New Missions is.
That's right. And I had been born again about a year and a half before that. And I never felt a burden for intercession for people. But seeing all the death and destruction, the need, the poverty.
Were you two together at this point? No.
Okay.
You didn't meet in Haiti?
No.
You met up there at that church?
We met in Milwaukee, yeah.
Okay. So you got born again. Now, we got to put on the brakes here now. Wait. How old were you?
Born again at 20.
20.
Yep. So about 4 years of living deep in the world, darkness, drugs, alcohol, women.
Really? You're this innocent-looking guy. You don't look the type.
Jesus does some pretty good work.
Yeah, he does, you know. Look at that. So I didn't get saved until I was 29. So go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, 20 years old, started following Jesus.
Let's not brush over that. Wait a second. You're in drugs, alcohol, wine, women, and song, whatever it is.
Right.
Living a despicable lifestyle.
Exactly.
Wow. So what happens?
Yeah, my oldest brother, he had given his life back to the Lord about a year before that.
So he's talking about Jesus.
But we didn't really know each other, and all of a sudden he's going to get married. He invites me to his wedding. And on this drive, he's the first person, after going to church most Sundays growing up, he's the first person to tell me that I need to repent and follow Jesus, or I can't keep calling myself a Christian. And the Lord had been working in me prior to that, living that life of darkness. There was definite physical pleasures for the temporary time, but my heart was empty. You know, I was starting to really experience that darkness and, like, questioning there's got to be more to life. Like, what am I doing? I'm 20 years old and just feel like I'm wasting everything. And so I have this conversation with my brother, and at first I'm argumentative. I'm like, you know, Jesus died for me. He forgives me. You know, I can keep living how I want and just ask forgiveness. Like, that's the gospel I've been taught. But that night, I really had a spirit-to-spirit connection with God. And
what happened?
I just felt like I really communicated with him. Like, I'd never...
What did you say?
I was just asking him, like, is this you, God? Like, is this a real thing? Do I need to repent? Like, I kind of felt it would be the truth in my inner being. Just because I, you know, you You realize you're empty and broken, and if God is God and he's good, then my life shouldn't be how it is.
Yeah.
I didn't have anyone who was leading me, showing like, hey, there's a way of abundant life for you. And I was hungry for that, but I didn't know what it looked like.
So you call upon his name. So you were not born again prior to this?
I don't think so, no.
I know
God had always been with me. Like, from a young age, I felt that he was calling me and like, everything would be okay. My parents divorced when I was 7, and
That's traumatizing.
Mom went through a handful of rough boyfriends, and, yeah, I just remember crying myself to sleep often.
Really?
And at the same time as like, that depression was knocking at my door, like, I knew that God was good, and, like, there would be a hope and a future for me.
Yeah.
So even though I never started following him, I had, you know, an innocent belief. So, you know, I do go back and forth. Like I just said, I wasn't born again, like, as a young kid, but I'm still, maybe I was. I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Well, I felt like he was in my life, too, in little circumstances I can remember, but I definitely was not born again. But he knows before, we're born with probably the mark of the Lord on us already.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so I had that growing up, like, I'm meant for more than the world, you know? And then have this encounter with my brother, sharing the opportunity, repent, the kingdom of heaven's here. You know, that should go hand in hand with the gospel. It's not just, you know, Jesus died so you can be in heaven and get out of jail free. It's, you know, he died so you can be set free from this sin that you're entangled in, that you're a slave to. And so that was, yeah, stirred up that hunger for righteousness in me. The next morning, day of his wedding, went outside for a cigarette, and halfway through, I just said in my heart to the Lord, like, God, if this is real, like, help me quit all this stuff. And broke my addiction to nicotine, marijuana, drinking.
Instantaneously.
Pornography.
I hear that happening.
Huge turnaround in my life. Like, changed who I was hanging out with when I went back to college.
Be separate.
Yeah. So I still had a lot of, you know, identity. Just this past 2 weeks ago, I had this huge encounter with God of learning my position as his son. Like, it's not that I was made perfect in that moment. My spirit man, you know, was becoming one with God. You're either fully righteous with him or you're not. You know, you can't be with God and have that impurity. So he does that work on the inside.
Yeah.
But he's got, you know, the rest of our time here on earth to work out our sanctification.
Well, he says, I wish above all things that thou were either hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. But I also have conflicts in that. Just like you said, his hand was on you as a child, as he was mine. When you are born again, I'm not sure. I kind of gravitate towards the once saved, always saved, only in this, that if you truly have the Spirit of God in you, because it is written... I often wondered about that. Well, you know, I did. I looked at a woman wrong, or the lady gave me too much change at the grocery store, and I didn't tell on, you know, whatever. Oh, you've lost your salvation. So I think if he's in you, then he will reel you back in.
Sure.
I'm not sure, because you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Because he said, "I will give the crown of life to those who overcome." Well, how do we overcome? Because that always worried me. Oh, I don't know if I'm overcoming here. I was yelling in traffic.
Yeah.
I was cussing and swearing. You know, and he cleared up my tongue when I was first born again. I'm going back to swearing a little bit. I don't want to be that. I don't want the Holy Spirit to have to hear that. Anyway, I don't care about me, but I do care about the Holy Spirit. So it's written by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Okay, so that's an overcomer, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. So I don't know, because if you say you can lose it, then you never know. You have to live in, you know, it's just like the Muslims.
Yeah. Well,
they never know if they're going to get in heaven, you know.
I like to just, in Romans 8, I think, right? There's nothing that can overcome God's love. So, like, we're in, when we say yes to him.
You once saved, always saved, if you're truly saved?
I think there's a tension. I think you have every opportunity to be saved forever, you know. But how I view it is, you know, we're in God's hands, and he has every... He has all the power, he's sovereign, and he'll keep us there.
Mm.
But if we ever wanted to, I think people can still jump out of God's hands.
Well, and was it Hebrews 11 or somewhere in Hebrews where they said they stopped sacrificing the lambs and they started to follow Jesus. Then they went back to in other words, they rejected Jesus later, went back to killing lambs on the Passover.
Yeah, you can't re-crucify the Christ.
Right, Jesus cannot die twice on the cross for you.
It's like trying to earn your salvation. Trying to go back like, all right, I'm saved. I did this thing. Oh, now I'm not saved, so I need to earn my place again. But it's like, we've talked about this a lot lately. When you are a son or a daughter, you're in the family. Mm-hmm. Jesus did the finished work.
Do you have children yet or no?
Yeah, we have four kids.
You have four?
Yeah.
Two were born in Haiti.
You know what's causing that, don't you?
Yeah, that's fun.
You have four?
Oh, yeah,
my word. I just look with such great admiration because you died a self with one, let alone four.
Yeah.
What are their ages?
We have 10, 9, 7, and 5. What? Three boys and our little girl is the last. The crowning glory of our family.
Wow. Yeah, we died to ourselves to move to Haiti, but then we had four kids.
And then it's like,
you just keep on dying.
That's a whole other death.
With a few laughs in between, right?
Yeah, yeah. So much joy.
We love our
kids. It's amazing to see them.
We love them, and we really like them, too. They're great kids.
Yep. Yeah.
They're great kids.
Yeah, one more congratulations. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And so you were down in Haiti. You have your own ministry down there?
Well, let's retrack with the story, right? So 20, I get saved at my brother's wedding.
Yep. Let's finish that story.
And then I'm in Milwaukee. Yep. Kirsten comes to join us.
Yep.
And our small church there starts doing short-term trips into Haiti.
Yeah.
So 2010, March of 2010.
So you both went together?
His first trip was just with a group from our church. And that's where God spoke to him.
About what?
Of being a full-time missionary in Haiti. So he was in school for engineering at the University of Milwaukee. Yeah. And then I came, and then we were on a short-term trip together, but we weren't, talking. I noticed him, but, you know. And then it was on...
But there was no fire yet.
No fire yet. I was still...
I mean, I felt it, but, you know.
You were protecting me.
Yes. Yes.
Well, often women do know before the man.
Yeah, I was clueless for a while.
I wonder who chooses who. I think women do a lot of the choosing we don't know about. Yes, I let him chase me until I caught him. That old saying.
But so then on one trip that I was on, I'd always wanted to do overseas mission work. I just didn't know where. Yeah.
From the time you were a child?
Yes.
Now let's hear your story. Mm-hmm. Now, so were you brought up as a Christian?
Yes, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a Methodist pastor.
Uh-oh, you're a pastor's kid.
A PK,
but they normally go into a state of rebellion. You didn't rebel?
Right. No, well, when I was about 14, my dad ended up choosing sin and leaving the family.
At 14?
Yeah, so then it was like this, a huge, so being in a pastor's family where it's like you keep up,
appearances
and all of that, and then just everything being flipped on its head. And so then God became so real to me, though, as my father. And so then, walking through, when I went to college, walking through this beautiful journey of forgiveness, of, forgiving my dad, which broke down a huge wall.
Did he ever come back to the Lord or no?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Did you serve in the military? I'm the home lady, founder of Operation Veteran Home Ownership. We help veterans use their VA home benefit. You earned it. Now use it. For more information, call 800-229-9792.